Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got on the old gospel bus tonight? Ruth, you're still on mute.
I was wondering why I acted a little bit funny. Okay, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, which they are so important in our lives. We have you and me.
All right, well, what kind of prayer request you got that you remember?
Well, I'm feeling pretty sick after falling out of bed. I won't get into details on where I feel bad. We're praying for you, Kenny, because of your cough. And you're going to Geneva tomorrow, so traveling mercies for that. Pray for Emily. She has not felt well either, but I believe that she will be able to continue working in the ministry too because she's bullheaded. She'll make it. Just like me, I'm bullheaded. I won't make it because we got the Lord. Okay, so you can go on from here.
Ruth, are you trying to tell me that last night you were falling for our house again?
Yeah, it's me and that, I don't know, the way I lay in bed, maybe I flopped out just because I slipped out.
No. You're saying you're falling in love with our house so much that you're falling for it.
It could be, but I'm in love with you more and God first.
Well, you need to quit falling for the house. All right. And, of course, we want to be praying for our military, those in authority, like these dirty, rotten politicians, our country, that they get right with God.
We want to pray for those that work in nursing homes and hospitals, those that are residents there. And we want to be praying for, of course, Brother Quick and Mrs. Quick, Pastor and Mrs. Bonnet, and, of course, Tim and his work on the Word of the King here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Of course, all of the team here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and all of those requests represented. And, of course, Emily and her mom and all of those things. So what we're going to do, we're going to get rolling out here. As we get rolling along here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, have some music, and then get into a good message tonight. We got a good message for you about America, a Christian nation, and then, of course, Roost Bible Prophecy. And does Emily continue with her good role? She's 3 for 3. Will she make it 4 for 4 tonight? Because she's really coming at Pastor Bonnet's record. Will she break his 22 for 26? Will she do it? We're going to find out tonight. Does she keep the good roll going? So you want to stay tuned for that. So here we go with our music. Amen.
Oh, the eye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I've just been to heaven with someone so true. I dreamed about Mama last night. She read me the Bible like she used to do. I dreamed about Mama last night. She never closed her eyes in sleep till we were all in bed. And on party nights till we came home, she often sat and read. We little thought about it then, 'cause we were young and gay, just how much Mama worried when we children were away. We only knew she never slept when we were out at night, and that she waited just to know that we'd come home all right. Why, sometimes we'd stay away till one or two or three, it seemed to us that Mama heard the turning of the key. For always when we'd step inside, she'd call and we'd reply. But we were all too young back then to understand the reason why. Until the last one returned, she'd always keep a light, for Mama couldn't sleep until she'd kissed us all goodnight. She had to know that we were safe before she went to rest, 'cause she seemed to fear the world might harm the ones she loved the best. And once she said, when you've grown to women and to men, perhaps I'll sleep the whole night through. I may be different then. And so it seemed that night and day we knew a mother's care, that always when we got back home, we'd find her waiting there. And then came the night that we were called together around her bed. The children are all with you now, the kindly doctor said. And in her eyes there gleamed again that old-time tender light that told us that she'd been waiting just to know that we were all right. Then she smiled that old familiar smile and prayed to God to keep her children safe from harm throughout the years. And then she went to sleep.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have, or reprogramming here, or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV 1611 Ruth at gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry at gmail.com. Again, KJV 1611 Ruth at gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday. River takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and on Wednesday. It's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
for he took me as I was, oh praise his name. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me oh so strong causes me to have a song.
For the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the Squad.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's Kicking It with Six Eyes and Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Job chapter 19 and verse 17. Job chapter 19 and verse 17.
My breath is strange to my wife, though I am treated for the children's sake. of my own body.
And you notice he says that his wife's breath is strange unto him. And we'll hear that one more time just so that we got it. Our Six-Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Job 19 and 17.
My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body.
Notice also, he entreats for his children's sake. What he's doing here is he's begging his wife to kiss him. That's what she's begging for, what he's begging for. That's why his wife's breath or her kisses is strange unto him. Because she, as you know, in chapter 2, she told him, basically, why don't you just curse God and die? Because he was keeping his integrity. And basically here, we find she is not happy about it. So she's telling him, well, I'm not going to kiss you because you are keeping your integrity. Found in our Six-Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Job chapter 19 and verse 17. Amen.
Tomorrow, and I know, yes, I
holds my hand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Hungering and thirsty. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world of victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jesus can help
me, Jesus alone. I pledge allegiance to the land, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor.
Warned by one, they chose like a great angelic choir. I can almost hear their voices ring. And the years have gone. The cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one. Life to the prophet's sound of the blind. Let us proudly stand and boldly say,
I pledge allegiance to the land. With all
for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLYNESSBIBLES. F-O-R, thebliend.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is that time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh. Again, that's Tanakh. T-E-N-A-C is in cat, H. Tanakh. Again, it's the Hebrew word for Bible. Basic instructions for leaving Earth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 5, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And again, the Hebrew word of the week for this week is the Hebrew word for Bible, which is Tanakh, as in cat, H, according to its Hebrew pronunciation, Tanakh. And again, that's the Hebrew word for Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth. This has been Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew word of the week. Till next time, God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information or money order explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
With this cup I remember thee. And the blood
Coming back, the Lord did say, upon his promise, you depended on wings of love, you soar away. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I want to know more
about my Lord, my blessed Lord.
I want to know more
about that mansion, heavenly mansion.
I'm going to receive.
I'm going to receive as my reward.
Thank you. I will cling to the cross, that old rugged cross. It was there that my soul was set free. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I will cling to that old rugged cross. I will cling to the old rugged cross. It was there that he suffered and died. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I'll cling. I will cling to the old rugged cross.
Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we
support
this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. Owl saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too clean for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't throw that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait.
He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said at Gettysburg that this was a nation which was conceived in liberty and created equal. He went on to say that they were engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated could long endure. Today, my friends, we're engaged in another war, another struggle, even more fundamental in its character than that. The question before our nation today is not whether men are created equal. It is whether they are created at all. Whether they are creatures made by God who have certain inalienable rights, or whether they are merely an accident of time and matter. Whether indeed this is a nation under God, which can have a new birth of freedom. There is no doubt that this is indeed a nation which was built upon the foundation of God, that the Lord indeed was the God of this nation, that it was founded upon the principles of God's word, upon the teachings of Christianity, and for the advancement of the kingdom of Christ. All of that is under enormous attack and has been for the last few decades. In fact, so effective has been that attack that the historical revisionists have all but removed every vestige of our Christian heritage from our textbooks in school. Even the very monuments in the nation's capital are being changed and removed that point to the Christian origins of this country. You and I were born in a Christian nation. That may not be said for your children or grandchildren, unless we who have received this marvelous patrimony do something other than let it sift through our fingers like sand, because we are engaged simply in personal peace and prosperity, as Dr. Francis Schaeffer used to say. But let's go back to the beginning, to those intrepid pilgrims that set sail from Holland to come to this country after fleeing their native England 12 years before. Their governor for 30 or more years was, of course, William Bradford, who gives us the only history of that period. And before they set sail from Holland, he described their motives in coming. He said they had, quote, a great hope and inward zeal of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be but even a stepping stone unto others for the performing of so great a work. That is why they came, said their governor. They came for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ. And after a fearful journey of 66 days without ever being allowed up onto the deck of the Mayflower, because of the great gales and storms, they at last sighted the inhospitable shores of a winter New England coast. They harbored there in the bay, and before going ashore, they met in the captain's cabin and wrote the first contract of government, or as they would call a covenant, the first constitution of America. Its birth certificate, as it is called, we call it the Mayflower Compact. It begins with these words, in the name of God, amen. That's where America began. And it goes on to say, quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. And so, they themselves here officially declare and sign that which their governor had said about them before they left Holland, that they came for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. But there are those who don't like to hear that. And surely that must have ended with those first pilgrims. But my friends, it did not. When finally the New England settlements at last got together and they formed their first bond in what is known as the New England Confederation, they said in that we all came to these parts of America for one and the same end and aim, to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One and all, they came for that end, they declared in the New England Confederation. The documentary evidence is voluminous. It would take hours even to quote it. It was thoroughly studied by the Supreme Court of the United States in 1892. And they gave us what is known then as the Trinity Decision. And in that, the Supreme Court of the United States declared, quote, "These references add a volume of unofficial declarations to the mass of organic utterances that this is a religious people, this is a Christian nation." That is where this nation began. That is the place from which we came. John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, said that the highest glory of the American Revolution was won. It secured our independence from England. It got rid of the stamp tax, tea tax. What was the highest glory of the American Revolution? It dissolved our bonds with Parliament and the King? No, listen well, said President John Quincy Adams. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. One indissoluble bond. Government and Christianity. Well, they have come with their solvents of unbelief, skepticism, atheism, Marxism, humanism, secularism, and they are doing everything in their power to totally dissolve that indissoluble bond. And we need to give ourselves to that task, that bond not be dissolved, or else the principles of Christianity will be replaced by the secular principles of humanism and atheism, and life will lose its significance and its meaning. Life will become cheap, as it certainly presently is in this country, as humanistic principles are prevailing in more and more spheres of our nation. Now, someone will say, but yes, doesn't the First Amendment say that there should be a wall of separation between church and state? I wonder if we went out in the street and took a survey, how many people would say yes to that question? Yes, the First Amendment says that there should be a wall of separation between the church and state. I wonder how many here might still believe that. Well, if you do, let me remind you of something. The First Amendment never mentions a wall. It never mentions separation. It never mentions the church. And it never mentions the state. Other than that, they're pretty close. The First Amendment says, quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." It was Thomas Jefferson in a private letter to the Danbury Baptist who used the phrase a wall of separation between church and state. And they are by no means the same thing. A wall inhibits people equally on both sides. The First Amendment only inhibits the Congress. Congress shall make no law. Establishing a religion, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The First Amendment says absolutely nothing about what Christians or people adhering to any religion or ministers or clergymen or churches may or may not do. Joseph Story, who was the great commentator on the Constitution, who lived through the formation of this government, and as a justice on the Supreme Court, wrote his great work on the commentary on the Constitution in 1828. And he said that an attempt to level all religions, Christianity and other religions, all to one level and make it a matter of state policy to hold all in utter indifference would have created universal disapprobation, if not universal indignation. You see, my friends, most people don't realize what this nation was like in the beginning, even as late as 1776. 150 years after the Pilgrims landed, this was the makeup of America. 98% Protestant Christians, 1.8% Catholic Christians, 0.2% Jews. That was the makeup of this country as late as 1700. And 76. That's why Charles Hodge, who was the greatest theologian America ever produced, who was the glory and jewel and crown of Princeton, said, quote, "The proposition that the United States of America is a Christian and Protestant nation is not so much the assertion of a principle as the statement of a fact." But today, people seem to think that in some way religion in general and Christianity in particular are in some way inimical to good government, and that the purpose of the government is to keep religion away from the governors of our land. A very different view than held by George Washington, who said, quote, "True religion offers to government its surest support." In fact, Washington said that without God and the Bible, it would be impossible to govern. George Washington, our wise father, father of America, said that without God and the Bible, it would be impossible to govern. And perhaps that is why, having banished the Bible and having attempted to banish God from all spheres of public life, we have found that our Congress cannot even make a budget, and that it is becoming increasingly impossible to govern this nation. Robert Winthrop said that it may do for other countries and other governments to talk about the state supporting religion, but here, under our free institutions, it is religion which must support the state. Samuel Adams, the great firebrand of the Revolution, as he was called, said this: "Let divines and philosophers, statesmen and patriots, unite their endeavors to motivate the age by impressing the minds of men with the importance of educating their little boys and girls, of inculcating in the minds of youth, the fear and love of deity." That's what the founders of this country believed, that we should inculcate in the minds of youth the fear and love of deity. Because in our stupidity and unbelief, we have banned God from the classrooms, we have taken away prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments, we have replaced them with police dogs in the halls, policemen at the doors, metal detectors in our high schools, crime in schools, which is absolute epidemic, and teachers who are early retired from battle fatigue. This is the folly of modern America. How different from those words of our founding fathers speak the modern, unbelieving secularists and humanists of our time. They believe that Christianity is the great danger to freedom and good government. And they do not even realize that they are taking a position totally antithetical to the position taken by the founders of this country. They are taking exactly the same position that was held by the atheistic founders of the French Revolution. In France, it was the church that was held by these atheists to be the great evil, which must be banished and restrained. In America, it was religion which was the surest support of good government. And it was the principles of Christianity which were united in an indissoluble bond in the establishment of this country. Yes, my friends, you and I were born in a Christian nation. I'm afraid our children or grandchildren will be born in an atheistic one. Just at a time when the atheistic states of communism around the world are crumbling and people are clamoring for the Word of God, so much so that they jammed up completely the book fair in Moscow a few months ago when 50,000 Bibles were given away. They stopped all traffic in every direction, trying desperately to get their hands on one. Just at a time when the rest of the world is realizing the folly of unbelief and the fatal results in the lives of people, America continues apace down the foolish pathway toward godlessness and secularism. I pray that God may grant that we may have the courage and the conviction, the strength of character, the boldness to be able and be willing to stand up for Christ. And we are engaged indeed in a great struggle, testing whether this nation or any nation that believes that men were created by a divine creator and thus endowed with inalienable rights, whether such a nation can long endure. There were in the beginning, and there are today, those who believe that this which we have received as our patrimony, a nation of freedom and liberty, and only where the Spirit of God is there liberty. Those that have been willing to fight and to die for such a country. And if a nation is built on such exalted principles as these, if it was created for such noble purposes as the advancement for the kingdom of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and the glory of God, then indeed such a nation deserves our sacrifice and our support. The greatest military genius America ever produced was Douglas General MacArthur. For 50 years, he devoted his life to this country. He was a man of deep and abiding faith and love for country. The only conqueror in the history of the world who, having conquered the nation of the Empire of Japan, said that what is needed now are tax collectors to collect the taxes for the conquerors. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said what is needed now are 10,000 missionaries for Japan. They didn't come. We see now how right he was. Snatched tragically at the pinnacle of his career, out of his command, brought back in humiliation to this country, he found that he received not jeers, but an incredible outpouring of love and appreciation. He spoke to the Congress of the United States. You probably saw it on TV, as I did. But I think that perhaps the most moving and touching of his speeches was his last, which he made at his own beloved West Point as they sat there, these soon-to-be officers in the Corps of the United States Army. And MacArthur, now an old man, 50 years of service behind him, said, "The shadows are lengthening for me. The twilight is here. My days of old have gone and vanished, tone and tint. They've gone glimmering through the dreams of things that were. Their memory is one of wondrous beauty, watered by tears and coaxed and caressed by the smiles of yesterday. I listen vainly, but with thirsty ear, for the witching melody of faint bugles blowing reveille, of far drums beating the long roll. In my dreams, I hear the crash of guns, the rattle of musketry, the strange, mournful mutter of the battlefield. But in the evening of my memory, always I return to West Point. Always there echoes and re-echoes in my ear, duty, honor, country." America, a Christian nation, demands an equal sacrifice from each of us. May we pray. God forbid that we who were born into the blessings of a Christian America should let that patrimony sift through our fingers as sand and leave to our children the bleached bones of a secularist and godless society. O God, grant us strength by thy Spirit that we may do all in our power in our time, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ might be advanced here among the greater number of pagans and heathen that now infest this land, and that God may be glorified, and once more it may become a city set upon a hill. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Well, it is time for Sister Emily to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Relief in the time of suffering, Father, I'll stretch my hands to thee. For God, in the time of decision, Father, I'll stretch my hands to thee. For protection in the time of danger, Father, I'll stretch my hands to thee. For courage in the time of fear, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. For strength in the time of temptation, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I do believe, I now believe.
Passing through his church in the middle of the day, decided to pause by the altar and see who had come to pray. Just then the back door opened. A man came down the aisle. The minister frowned as he saw the man hadn't shaved in a while. His shirt was not shabby, and his coat was worn and frayed. The man knelt, he bowed his head, then rose and walked away. The days that followed, each noontime came this chap. Each time he knelt just for a moment, a lunch pail in his lap. Well, the minister's suspicions grew, with robbery a main fear. He decided to stop the man and ask him, "What are you doing here?" The old man said, "He worked down the road. Lunch was half an hour. Lunchtime was his prayer time for finding strength and power. I say only moments, see, because the factory is so far away. As I kneel here talking to the Lord, this is kind of what I say. I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and took away my sin. Don't know much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, Jesus, this is Jim checking in." The minister, feeling foolish, told Jim that was fine. He told the man he was welcome to come and pray just any time. "Time to go," Jim smiled. Said thanks. He hurried to the door. The minister knelt at the altar. He'd never done it before. His cold heart melted, warmed with love, and met with Jesus there. As the tears flowed, he repeated old Jim's prayer. "I just came again to tell you, Lord, how happy I've been since we found each other's friendship and you took away my sin. I don't know how much of how to pray, but I think about you every day. So, this, Jesus, this is me checking in." Past noon one day, the minister noticed that old Jim hadn't come. More days passed without Jim. He began to worry some. At the factory, he asked about him, learning he was ill. Hospital staff was worried, but he'd given them a thrill. The week that Jim was with them brought changes in the ward. His smiles, a joy contagious. The head nurse couldn't understand why Jim was so glad. When no flowers, calls, or cards came, not a visitor he had. The minister stayed by his bed. He noticed the nurse's concern. No friends came to show they cared. He had nowhere to turn. Looking surprised, old Jim spoke up, and with a winsome smile, "The nurse is wrong. She couldn't know that in here all the while, every day at noon, he's here. A dear friend of mine, you see. He sits right down, takes my hand, leans over and says to me, 'I just came again to tell you, Jim, how happy I have been. Since we found this friendship and I took away your sin, Always love to hear you pray. I think about you each day. And so, Jim, this is Jesus checking in.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
Yeah, the message between that song and the poem was simply prayer.
Well, boy. She's come at you, Pastor Bonnet, hard and fast. She is now 4-for-4. Ooh, boy. Pastor Bonnet, look out. She's coming for you. Amen. 4-for-4.
Well, I guess God's even answered this buzzer's prayer for no blowing or beating it up or anything. Well, I guess this buzzer's really blessed this time around, huh?
Amen. Yep, it's got some grace again this week, so we're 4-for-4. Can she keep the roll going next week? We'll find out. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall be rising against nations, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Upon us, and that there is no doubt to show my mind out of the world.
Bible on the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame suffers down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken. And the
seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Lesson is, the Bible is truth. A little more than 1,900 years ago, Jesus Christ personally revealed unto Simon Peter, the big fisherman, that he would establish his church, and Christ gave Peter the unbreakable promise, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18 in King James Version. Sometime later, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross of Calvary, and his body was placed in a borrowed tomb. He was miraculously resurrected from the dead, lived upon the earth for another 40 days, appeared to over 500 people on 12 different occasions, and then walked out to the top of the Mount of Olives, where a snowy white cloud received him up to heaven. And he sat down at the right hand of God, becoming the only mediator between a righteous God and sinful man. That's the gospel. For more than 1,900 years, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ had been the Son of God's source for proclaiming the gospel, which means the good news. In the early days of the New Testament church, the true believers were severally persecuted, and naturally, as they scattered in an endeavor to preserve their physical lives, they unconsciously took the gospel message to different places. The gospel, in turn, brought about the spiritual conversion of many, and the net result was the establishing of new churches and the gospel being preached to even greater numbers than ever before. Church of Jesus Christ has been God's avenue for warning sinful mankind and in helping him to become a sturdy bulwark in society against the ever-increasing avalanches of unrighteousness and apostasy in the world. In this modern world, we see an ecclesiastical deterioration in the 20th century church and the watered-down message it proclaims. Although the Bible still remains the world's bestseller in Parade magazine, a supplement up to the Sunday newspaper, there appeared an article showing how innovations which are adversely affecting worship services in the church. The article said in part, ministers are reading inspirational poetry, showing film clips, and even encouraging members to come to church in sweaters and slacks. The substitution of jazz for sacred music several years ago was the first breakthrough. Now there are many new ones. What some churchmen are striving to achieve through these way-out forms is to make the church more effective in today's changing world. In an extension of the innovations, the National Council of Churches reports many congregations are holding evening screenings of earthly secular films. Afterward, the congregation discussed the film and whether its characters did or didn't apply Christian values to situations they faced. From Miami Beach, Florida, through the services of the Associated Press, another news item declares, seeking to save an individual soul is not evangelism and is not even Christian these times. The Methodist Council of Evangelism was told. Old-time revivals were proper for the other times, said Dr. E. Edmund Perry, professor of history and religion at Northern Western University. He told the 300 church leaders at the national meeting on evangelism it was not Christian for today. The Methodists who were in session at Miami Beach, Florida, several years ago were told the revival meetings are not for the day and age in which we now live. The British Broadcasting Corporation has abolished its daily morning religious talks for a general type of humanitarian good cheer program. The BBC had a religious program on radio for 25 years, but discontinued it because it was felt that the bulk of the listening audience is no longer considered as Christian in character. Presently, there's a great controversy raging in the religious world over the accuracy of the Bible. Several outstanding theologians have written books in times past, including Rudolf Bestmann of Germany, as well as Bishop Robinson of England, including the late Bishop Pike of California. In practically all these books, you could find the denial of the Word of God as we who are born against Christians revere it today. Many of the so-called internationally known ecclesiastical scholars deny the literal interpretation of scriptures and say that any biblical account of a physical miracle must automatically be labeled mythical. Even the supreme miracle which gave birth to the church, the resurrection, is regarded as a subjective experience, the disciples rather than an objective historical event. Boltzmann of Germany believes it's impossible to accept the gospel as historically reliable. There's a general feeling being taught and experienced in modern-day theologians that the tendency is to move away from the concept of a personal God toward a more abstract and impersonal terminology. Man wants to push God out of his life because sinful man does not want to face up to the grim realities of the day and age in which he lives. In a faded article from the Detroit Free Press, we learn that a Jewish educator called for a drastic revision of Hebrew teaching to do away with the stories of magic. The Jewish educator, Abraham Siegel, who at the time the article was first written, was the director of the Office of Teacher Education, the Union of American Hebrew Congregations in New York, representing 300 Reform synagogues, said that teachers should omit from their synagogue courses the story of the prophet Elijah calling down fire on the altar and death on his enemies. He further says the book of Esther is full of situations of lying and evasion, and Esther was a coward. He also said she falsely accused Haman of trying to rape her. Regarding miracles as outlined in the Bible, the Jewish teacher declares that the teaching of miracles presents two problems. One, they do not fit in our national scientific emphasis, and the child often grows up and learns about science and throws out all of his religious training. And number two, we don't want to create the kind of person who depends on miracles. To further offset and chain and cast lingering shadows of doubt upon the Bible, several years ago, a Scottish minister and a mathematician fed the Pauline epistles into a Mercury computer, and the results showed that the Apostle Paul wrote only 5 of the 14 epistles attributed to him. The Scottish ministry, Reverend Angus Morton, contends the 9 remaining epistles were written by at least 5 different people, not by the Apostle Paul, as the New Testament declares. The result of this general tearing down of the spiritual strength and authenticity of the Bible as the only guidebook for the Church of Jesus Christ in the world is having a reactionary effect upon people in general. You'll note the tremendous effect to discredit God's Word. This is part of the logical reasons why some churches are having jazz concerts and viewing sexy movies on Sunday nights in order to keep the people occupied in coming to church. The overall result of the erroneous teaching of a lot of our modern theological schools, they are indoctrinating the students into the idea the Bible is not really the Word of God. They teach it and contain some of the Word of God, but in all reality, it's not the complete and final authority for the Christian man and woman in this present era. Well, yet we who are assured of their spiritual regeneration know the Bible is truth. God has mercy upon every poor, deluded soul who doesn't believe the Bible. This theological hogwash of belittling the Bible is borne out in everyday life because if you will inquire of the average citizen, you'll find that the majority do not regard the Bible as the last authority for the Christian. The Bible is man's only authority on matters of a spiritual nature. A number of co-eds living in an Ohio State University sorority house in Columbus were discussing the importance of faith in Jesus Christ for students. After one young lady had been presented the plan of salvation as laid down in the Bible by a Christian student, she made the remark, "You know, you're the first person who ever told me that Jesus Christ is God." This means that our young people are growing up, coming up through the academic faculties that are called public schools, and going off to college without any first-hand knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ was God's personal representative here on the earth, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and only through him is there forgiveness of sin and salvation. Acts 4:12. The Bible is now published in over 1,200 languages, with single copies of the Gospels being printed in 707 languages. There are at least another 1,000 languages waiting to have some portion of God's Word translated. On the other hand, although the Bible is increasing in circulation and still remains the world's bestseller, there are very few people who really use it as God's railway guide for a traveler on a pilgrim journey from earth to heaven. There are more than 200 different religious faiths in the United States, each one of them having more than 50,000 members, and yet the Bible is gradually being torn down in the hearts and minds of the earth's inhabitants. It is continually being ridiculed and blasphemed to such a degree, the average individual really doesn't reverence the Word of God and give it its rightful place in his daily worship. For instance, way back in 1963, a leader in the Church of England, Canon John Pierce Higgins of the Southwark Cathedral, criticized the Bible as a record heavy with wrong history and fulfilled prophecies. I consider the present use of the Bible made by the average Christian teacher to be one of the greatest obstacles to human brotherhood and interracial understanding that exists, he said. Canon John Pierce Higgins further stated, St. Paul was completely wrong in his idea of a second coming and the sudden transformation of the bodies of the still living into etheric or spirit bodies. This statement is a direct contradiction to the book of 1 Thessalonians. In the realm of politics and justice in the United States, when Representative Robert A. Ashmore, a South Carolina Democrat, was in office, he had a bill before Congress to place the inscription "In God We Trust" above the bench in the Supreme Court chamber. The late Chief Justice Earl Warren of California polled the members of the court at that time and wrote a letter opposing the bill, saying, "It's believed that the ornamentation other than provided in the original plans would detract from the total concept of the building. If such had been allowed, there would have been no state-church conflict. It would have been simply a matter of asserting the dependence on the nation on God. That statement, 'In God We Trust,' permanently above the Supreme Court bench, would have emphasized the dependence on God, which this nation has expressed from its very beginning, but which now we see has become a thing of the past. America is fast drifting down the river of no God." In November of 1965, the assistant director of the University of California's Lowy Museum of Anthropology came out with a blast at Christ's sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary by insinuating that Jesus may not have died on the cross at all, but rather may have been fed a drug that put him in a trance and fooled the Roman guards. Dr. Michael J. Harner, the assistant director of the museum, declared, "This is some evidence that during the period of Roman rule in Palestine, Jewish women would administer a so-called death wine made from the mandrake plant. If Christ did not die on the cross, no one has ever been saved in this life, and all mankind is in hell or on their way there. Bible says Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world," Revelation 13:8, KJV. Speaking of Christ's death, the Apostle Paul said that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, Hebrews 10:12, KJV. Whether you know it or not, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to sustain you, and comfort to cheer your weary heart. It's the traveler's roadmap, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God is its ultimate end. It will fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. If it's given to you in life, it will be opened in the judgment day. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. God wrote the Bible. The original Bible was written by God. Every word contained in it. I'm not talking about the different translations. I'm talking about the original text as delivered to mankind by God. Here's a scripture. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy, the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, inspired by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit." 2 Peter 1, 20-21, KJV. "Don't let any of the many evil forces of this 20th century burglarize any portion of your Bible. Nothing must be added to God's inspired word or taken away from it by any human being. If any presumptuous person undertakes to do so, he'll bring upon himself the wrath of God. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in his book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Revelation 22, 18 and 19, King James Version. "The Bible is one book for which you do not need to have a dictionary at hand in order to understand. Its doctrines are stated in a forthright, plain manner. The plan of salvation, showing man that as a lost sinner, Christ is the Savior of all men, is portrayed in such a way that a running child may read while he is running to tell others. No other book has such heavenly connections. No other book is so concerned with the future of mankind. My, oh my, what a book. It was written by God, preserved by God, and given to us by God. We also have the Holy Spirit who was sent by God to guide us in our reading and understanding of it. It's full of magnificent hopes and propositions. It's truly a garden paradise of truth. Now we have another poem. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Since I have been converted, old Satan and his folks keep bothering me with questions in the form of silly jokes. I only have one answer, and this is it, my friend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe that Father Adam, he was the first created man, that Eve was made his wife according to the Maker's plan. They lost their home in Eden. The Lord they did offend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe that Master Abel was slain by Master Cain, that Noah did go in the ark to get out of the rain. I believe that little David slew Goliath and his men. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe the Hebrew children walked in the burning fire, that Ananias was struck dead because he was a liar. I believe that good Elijah to heaven did ascend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe that Pharaoh's army was destroyed by the sea, that Moses and the Israelites from bondage were set free. I believe that fearless Daniel went in the lion's den. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe that King Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall. When Daniel had translated, he knew it meant his fall. I believe the Lord that warning and the drunken king did send. I believe the good old Bible from the beginning to the end. I believe that Job had patience and also lots of vials. And I believe the devil tempted him with various sorts of trials. I believe the silly comforters poor Job had to contend. I believe the good old Bible from the beginning to the end. I believe the shepherd Jacob was filled with great surprise when he saw the ladder reaching from the earth up to the skies, with angels climbing upwards while others did descend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe that faithless Jonah was swallowed by the whale, that Paul and Silas were set free from out the Roman jail. I believe the jailer's family were all converted then. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Take heed lest thy liberty should cause thy brother's fall. Now that command embraces cards, tobacco, rum, and all. Filthiness and righteousness together will not blend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. I believe the blessed master turned water into wine, is pure and sweet and harmless as the grape upon the vine. All their wine's a mocker, the scriptures do contend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Some doubts there is a Satan, there is no hell, they say, but I don't care for either. For I'm not going that way. My future hope is heaven, eternity to spend. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. This is by Captain Charles H. Stanley. Next lesson is how we got the Bible.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, O Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H, Tabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X, E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, as we pull into the depot, who do we got on the Six Eyes Gospel Bus tonight, Sister Ruth?
Well, we had some people listening earlier, but it's just Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, which are everywhere, and we have you and me, so that's cool. That's it, and hope they enjoyed it, the people who were listening for a while.
Yep, but we also still have our 100 in some odd countries that are listening in, and we are glad that they joined us on the gospel bus tonight.
Amen.
So, Ruth, we'll ask you to give us a closing prayer and remind everybody to join us tomorrow night here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Thursday night, for the truth of the matter at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, Ruth, give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
Well, Lord, we're praying for Reverend Mrs. Quick, and my husband, Kenny. Emily needs prayer. Six Eyes Radio Network, the whole thing would work on all those people. And all the 100 countries folks, so that includes people that I don't know, but we're happy to have them. And whatever else, the Lord knows, lost souls, and just me. So we want to praise your name for everything, Lord, and hope everyone had a good time tonight, and hope you and the angels had a blast, too. All right. Love you. Amen.
Amen. God bless, and have a good night, everybody.
Night, night.